Hello, everyone. So we are scheduled to do Zoom coaching today, and I totally apologize. The service that we use seems to be having some technical difficulties. I'm trying one more time to see if we can get in, but I have heard multiple reports from other groups that utilize the Zoom app that Zoom is having a bad day. So we are now going to go Facebook Live with what was going to get coached. So here's what I need. I need to know, let me tell Kathy, will you email the girls signed up to tune in here? So here's how I like to look at things, guys. Like, I could sit here and throw shade and bitch and moan about Zoom and all that kind of good stuff, but honestly, there's nothing to do but make the next best decision, which is this. I think that's really important for you guys to understand. A lot of times you guys ask me, how is it that you keep your cool? How is it that you get things done? How is it that you're not face down in a bottle of wine every night or in the chocolate cake? And it's because when shit happens, there's two decisions. There is one, like, spin out and be a perfectionist and, like, I don't know, just go crazy with it, right? Or it's like, all right, if I was not gonna have drama and I was not gonna be upset, how would I solve this problem? I was like, well, I'll just go live. That's what we're gonna do. So Kathy is going to message my girls that had signed up for coaching. I'm going to just read. One of the best things we ever did, obviously, in PNP Tribe was decide to make you guys submit ahead of time a questionnaire about why you want coaching. So at least I know what topics are on there. So number one was Miss Maureen, and she wanted to know. And if she comes, guys, if you are getting coached, you were supposed to get coached today, we have two options. I can try to bring you on screen if you don't mind doing it inside the Facebook group. We can do it that way. If you're not comfortable having your coaching inside the Facebook group, which I totally get because, you know, Corinne doesn't own the Facebook platform and whatever. I wouldn't mind doing it. Y'all know me. I share my gut, but not everybody wants to lay it all out there like I do. Then what we can do is you can just ask questions in here and that will work too. So Maureen's been in PNP for a year. She's not lost 1 pound. I've been writing my plan daily since October 1st, which hasn't been a whole year, never missing a day. But I'm going to give it to her because, like, since October 1st, that's amazing. Like, to just say, like, I'm so committed to this. I've not been able to pull it together and lose the weight. I need help figuring it out. So my question for Maureen, and if you're here, Maureen, that's why I want Kathy messaging. I would probably, Kathy, if you're on here, I don't know if you're on this live at the same time, would Facebook message her also, just so we have it. I also have, if you go into Acuity, her phone number's in there, you may want to text her also. And Kathy, can you let me know if you're even in here? So let me just put it, come on my live so I can tell her all this stuff. So she said, what solutions have you come up with to solve the problem? You must present at least one for coaching and have done them. If not done nothing, you need to ask why. I've been writing up a 24-hour plan since October 1st. So I want to point out something here. I've asked for a solution to this problem. Her problem is that she has not lost any weight and she's been doing her plan since October 1st. That's the problem. Her brain is locked in to that's what's supposed to work, right? That cock blocks you from solutions. If you're so locked in, but this should work, this should be it. It's like something obviously is not working with that. So what is it? What solution could you do? So, like, I would want to know how many, like, if you have, since you've got, since October 1st, since you, this will be perfect because there's a lot of you doing what we had, which was earlier, I guess it was 20 something days ago, I did a live where I threw down the gauntlet and said, if you give me 67 days worth of 24-hour plans, I can figure it out. Here's how I would look at this. So for all of you that struggle with, I'm doing my plans, but I don't know why it's not working. Number one is I would count every single one of them. I would just, honestly, I'd print them all out if you do them electronically. Or what I would do is I would pull them out of your binder and I would have two pages. Hey, Maureen, do this for me. I'm so glad you're here. So since you have all of your plans, can you tell me out of since October 1st, if you can, even if you have to go through and count while I'm talking, how many of them were 100% executed according to what you planned for the day? So if we can get like, so October 1st, November, December, and a few days. So you should have, say, 100 plans. How many of the 100 were 100% exactly what you planned? That's where we can start the first thing. Hang on. One of your sisters is in here. So then she said she has Marco Polo Group, which is really good. So one of the things I want to say is that when you are, and Maureen, if you want to come on screen, I can try to pull you up so we can also do that. When you are coming up with a solution, guys, if you, like, even if I give you, like, it's the 24-hour plan, it's this, it's that, if they're not getting the result you want, then we start breaking the process down. And I'm going to tell you why this is important, because the next question is, this problem creates what feeling? Identify the most powerful emotion you have. Like, I'm a loser, I'm an idiot, and I'm a failure. I've been paying for a year and I still can't figure it out. Maureen has decided, and letting her brain tell her, that she has, hang on, I gotta get my bangs tucked. This is the bad thing about letting your hair grow out, it annoys you. She has decided that this is not a process problem. This is a must be a Maureen problem. This must be something wrong with me. And it's like, no, we still have a process problem. We always have a process problem. I promise you guys, you don't have a you problem. There's all part of her process problem is her brain wants to go to, this is a you problem instead of a process problem. So how do we redirect the ship to starting to understand, you know, like, I got to get out of judgment first and I have to move into data. Where's my data? So she's pulling for me how many of those plans were 100%. So if we know, like, if we have 50 I eat on plan and 50 I don't, and I've, like, I either grab-assed or I did a little bit of this, I didn't get my water, like, all of that is the reason why I have you track, because the answer will always be in your data. Here's where your answer won't be. Floating around in your brain mixed up with feeling like a loser, like an idiot, and like you're wasting your time. There will be no answers there. There will be shame, judgment, and guilt, but there won't be answers. So when you are writing everything down faithfully, regardless of your own self-judgment, and you do it anyway, when you do all of that, then when you're not getting the results you want, you get to actually look at what's working and what's not. Because here's what I normally see. I'm doing it just like you said, Corinne. Like, I've got, like, I'm not saying this is Maureen. We won't know until Maureen gives me some numbers. I'm just giving you guys what I have seen in the past. I'm doing it just like you said. Like, I have like 100 of these completed. And then when we look at them, it's like, oh my God, 75 of them, I didn't really eat on plan. 75 of them, I ate other things. So then we know the problem isn't the planning. The problem isn't that you're a loser. And the problem isn't that you're an idiot. The problem is, why are we eating off plan? What do we need to start with fixing? Do we need to start, are we still, we start looking at why you're off plan. Is it, like, you'll quickly see, I am either still not being realistic and practice committing, right? Or I have certain excuses or certain pattern times during the day that I need to zero in on. Like, there's a certain time of day, like, my plan seems to work really well until 8 o'clock at night. Then we need to zero in at 8 o'clock at night. We need to fix that. Because what will happen is that when you're not losing weight, because you break your plan every night at eight, you will say, none of it works. I can't do this. I don't get any of it, no matter what I do. And it's like, you become really good at sweeping judgments rather than saying, you know what? Every night at 8 o'clock, I need to solve for this. And you put all your brain and your energy on solving for, you start telling yourself, there is one small window that needs to be fixed. Rather than letting your brain get carried away with thinking there is all the things to fix. a million things to fix. Nothing is working. Your brain is going to have what's called like hindsight bias. And when you're not getting the result you want, it will think nothing works. In hindsight, none of it worked. None of it was good. It will tell you all kinds of things. It's always going to be the worst case scenario when it's wanting you to quit, when you're tired, when you're wore out. And what wears us out and gets us tired is all of the thoughts and all the judgments and things that we put on there. So I'm going to move to the next person while Maureen is collecting the data for us. She's going to give us some data. Maureen, what I would invite you to do is as you're counting and you tell me how many times are on and how many times are off, then you can go to, well, let's just take that. And then once you get those, type that in. Then I want you to take the ones where you're off. And I want you to give me two of your best guesses as to if I fixed these two things, knowing that this is how many of the times that I have that I didn't eat according to plan would probably be these things. So let's start with that. Gosh, I'm almost amazed at myself for being able to like coach without verbal stuff. It's not easy. It's just not easy. Leandra. Guys, I haven't read these yet. So we're just flying by the seat of our pants. What do you want coaching on? No more than three sentences. And here, this is the reason why I only give you guys three sentences. When you watch coaching, you'll notice most of the time I end up interrupting someone at some point because everybody always has a problem and they think, let me give you enough back history so that you'll agree how miserable my life is and we can all just sit around and hug it out. It's like, no, you don't pay me to hug it out. That's not why we're here. Your life can be summed up in very little sentences. Don't be sad about that. Be happy about that. It's like the more details you need to give, the more thoughts and story you're giving me. Oh, Maureen, first 30 days, 7 days on, 20 days off, 2 days I didn't track. So let's just go back to what you typed in, Maureen, so we can see where our brain goes, right? So you feel like an idiot and a loser, right? I've been in PNP for a year. I've been writing my plan daily since October 1st, never missing a day. Hindsight bias. You know what our brain remembers? The work and the drama. What it doesn't remember is what actually fucking happens. Isn't that crazy? Like, I won't ever, I'm so glad you did this because it's like, this is what we all do. We want something so bad that we will convince ourselves that we've done everything. And it's like, no, here's what we actually did. So rather than trying to convince ourselves that we're doing everything and getting frustrated about it, what if we just look at what we're actually doing and figure out how do I level that up? What am I learning from this? I'm going to tell you, I just did this with another group. I'm in a mastermind for people like where we just sit and we talk about the things we want in life, right? And one of the things, I'm in the deuter about a few things. And one of the girls challenged me to say, given all of this, what value can you extract out of it? So like for Maureen, of all of the stuff that you've collected, what value can you extract out of it? Right now you're extracting judgment and shame. You have records. You're ahead of the game on a lot of people. A lot of people are sitting there going, I wish I had like 90, you know, of those plans so that I could have some records. You have those. So now you've got to just grab that value and run with it. Just run with it. So I'd never miss a day. So your data's already telling you that. So now what you want to do, Maureen, let me go back to what you said. First 30 days, 7 days on, and then 20 days I was off. So during those 20 days, what did you learn about yourself? What were the habits that were showing up? What were the excuses that were showing up? What things were you doing? That's what needs to be cleaned up. You're doing such a good job of tracking, and now we want to do such a good job of pulling out from that data. Where's my next best decision to start? So Maureen, just give me a guess. Like if you have, like looking at your last, like look at your last 30 days worth. What did you learn from those? Like, what is the one thing you would love me to talk about that would help you move the needle on those? You're already tracking. So what is the one problem? What is the one thing that's like standing in your way? I would write that I would go just a little off. All right, so here's your next lesson. You need to be very specific about where a little is. Like, this is what I did, and this is what I would do if I was you, Maureen. I would keep a page, like, would just get out a piece of paper. I would, you can even do it on a TDL page in your planner, however you want to do it. I'd have a sheet of paper that's called my grab asses. You know how, like, when you're walking down a path, you, like, we're like, say we're all on a walk, right? You know how sometimes on greenways and pretty paths, they'll have like a little offshoot. Takes you a little bit longer. You might get to see some pretty things, but you kind of get right back on path. We want to stay off those. We just want to get where we want to go. You have a lot of those little ones. So you're like dragging shit out. They probably have picnic benches that you're sitting on and like perusing, but oh, it's nice. Because when we're just a little off, guys, there's not a lot of pain involved. So what we want to do is we want to up-level the pain. Here's the thing about habits we want to break. So if we're just going a little off, your stuff is saying, here I am, eating in maintenance. So the good news is you know how to be in maintenance. When you're in maintenance, you get to be a little off plan and you'll probably still maintain your weight. This piece of paper, every single time you have to keep a running list of all the extra bullshit you're adding, will make it really clear, one, that your brain will not like tracking it. It will rather be just a little off and be like, oh, that's okay, so we can keep our warm and fuzzy feeling. You don't want a warm and fuzzy feeling. Guys, when you're eating off plan, the last thing you want is warm and fuzzy. You don't want shame and judgment. You want it to be painful, like, ugh, here I am, a step away from the goal. Now I have to write about it. Now I have to acknowledge. I have to do all these things for my goal. And that will make going off a little very painful right before you eat it. It's kind of the same thing about the recovery worksheet. I know my newbies, y'all are like, oh, when are we going to get to the recovery worksheet? If you want to listen to module 5, just so you can figure out the recovery worksheet, have at it. It's over there for you. But the purpose of the recovery worksheet, which we talked about in the tribe yesterday in a Facebook post by Robin Heave, is whatever bad habit you have, like whatever it is that you're like, all right, this is the habit that's not going to get me to lose weight. Like going off plan a little bit will never get me to the weight loss goals that I want. So if I want to break it, what I have to do is make the experience of eating less fun and less okay and more painful. So ratcheting up awareness is always going to be step one. Seriously, the more aware you are of your overeats, you're going to be like, oh my God, like you're just like, I'm doing it all the time or whatever. You kind of want that because what you're doing right now when you're not aware is you're like, I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. I'm so frustrated with myself. But you don't have a clue as to why. So then you get to enjoy confusion. Nobody likes confusion, so stay out of it. I'd rather you be in the pain of awareness than the pain of confusion. So when you get aware, then you know the bullshit you're doing. The next part of it is when you have to write it down and you actually have to process it and stuff, your brain starts making a connection to, it's not near as fun as it used to be. Used to just be, we'd do shit and eat it and enjoy it and then barely think about it. That's amazing. Well, now we're not doing amazing anymore. Now we're doing like work. The more you plug work into an overeat, the more your brain will go to, are you sure you want to eat that? Because we're going to do a damn worksheet on this. Like, you don't like doing those worksheets. Is this like extra Oreo really what you want? Because you're going to have to do a worksheet on extra Oreo. That is the beauty of it. You want it to be like, I don't want to do a worksheet. And rather than eating and not doing a worksheet, you want to do so many worksheets to where you finally start saying, okay, I really don't want to do a worksheet, so now I'm not going to eat this. That is when you know you've hit the sweet spot. The pain of eating is greater than the worksheet. And that's where we want to get to. Okay? So, Maureen, my best advice is to go through there, and I want you to keep a painful list. Just call it, these will not get me to my goal. And you always write them down. You keep them on one big thing. That will also keep your brain in check with your thought of just a little off plan. If you have a whole page full of little offs, all of a sudden you'll be like, well, no wonder I'm not losing weight. Those little bastards add up. This will be your data. That will help you. And then I promise you guys, a lot of you think that the only way to solve your overeating is to be white knuckling and just say no and all this other stuff. A lot of overeating can be turned off quite easily with just being very aware of what's going on and your brain having the opportunity to have truth involved. You actually give yourself choice. I always say this, awareness does an amazing thing for us. It gives us an opportunity to choose. When you're not aware and you're unconscious of what's going on, you do not have choice. So you don't even have the option to make a better choice. You just have the option of doing what you've always been doing. So we want to get to the point to where you can choose. You may still choose the path of least resistance, which is just eating or whatever, but at least sometimes you won't, and that's progress. And then we just have to work on upping the amount of times that you choose what you ultimately want. All right. Leandra. I finally hit a weight I had not seen in forever. It took 3 months after seeing a previous weight I had not seen. My compelling reason is I want to look amazing as I am a CrossFit coach that just started. It seems based on this pattern, it will take a year to lose 4 pounds, and my goal is to lose 14. I'm not getting my water in every day. I'm currently in 30 days of hitting the basics. I had a similar issue with not following the 24-hour plan, did a 30 days challenge and got it under control until Christmas, back on plan. The problem that the feeling is stagnant. This one is pretty easy. So you're looking at a pattern of I was not doing everything, and this is the rate I was losing weight at. This kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. Create awareness. Like for you, it's like, you know, you're going to need to get your water in every day. You also, like, if you want to lose 14 pounds, I would break it down into, I am going to lose 4 pounds a month. And in order to lose 4 pounds a month, each week I'm going to need to lose one. It's just like our four circles. And then each week it's going to take me doing these things. So it's going to you're going to have to keep doing your plans. You know, the only thing that's slowing you down is that you think Christmas slowed you down. No, you quit doing plans. That slowed you down. So you need to start doing plans again. No drama, no bullshit, no anything. Just be like, if I could do it before Christmas, I for sure can do it now. Christmas is over. So get back on your 24-hour plan, and you want to make sure that you're doing just like Maureen. I would keep a piece of paper that shows you every day that you don't drink your water, every day that you don't, like, guys, a lot of you probably want to do this. You want to start getting statistical about it. I wouldn't get fancy. I'd just get a sheet of paper and draw some columns and then do some check marks. Keep them in your planner. You know, when you do your daily assessment, you just flip to that page and you were either on or you're off. You either drank your water or you didn't. You slept or you didn't. Just so you can see how consistent you are. And that way, when you start noticing like, damn, this page is getting full, I need to go to these pages and I need to read each day what's going on. Where can I extract patterns? Losing a pound a week, especially if you're a CrossFit coach and stuff, that should be a no-brainer for you. If you're just following the plans. Do not let yourself get caught up that has to be harder and thing. Self-admittedly, you're just not doing all the basics at one time. You don't need to like cut food groups or do anything crazy or like, I never have to like ask people to do stuff like that. It always comes back to, oh, here I am not doing it consistently. Are you on this call, Leandra? Let me go down here. Let me see if I can find you. Grab assin is like bites, licks, and tastes. It's all the little things, guys. It's everything you eat off plan. Let's see. What I would do Amica is take that to ask coaches. I'm doing well. Let me have a treat. How do I change my mindset? I would take that to ask coaches. Second month, 10 days on, 14 days off, 4 days on. I'm documented. Maureen, you could be a case study. I swear to God. I think you know exactly what your problem is. You think you're doing all of the work and you've committed to doing plans and you've committed to beating yourself up. Like, you have a thought you're doing it all, and now your data is showing you the only reason why I'm not losing weight is because I'm not every single day doing my plan. Now we just got to go back and assess. I have to quit telling myself I'm doing all the things. Guys, there is never, ever going to be a time where I'm going to advise you to be like, but I'm doing it all and working so hard and it's not working. That will never work for you. It's just not a helpful thought ever. It's always a thought that should send up a flare in your brain that you need to go to your data and make sure that's what's happening. Because it will feel true, like this is a desk. I can tell you there are plenty of times I think I'm doing everything and blah, blah, blah. And I will look at my task list and be like, oh, I'm not. There's some stuff I didn't get done today. I will also look at how I spent my time. And I'll be like, oh, I was like, you know, on Instagram today for about 20 minutes. Yeah, that's 20 minutes I could have knocked off a task. I don't think Leandra's here. She hasn't posted anything. Is one of my coaches in here? If so, can you let me know? If we do, I want them to post some links for you guys. Is there a podcast on setting a goal weight and a healthy goal weight for weekly? Melanie, yeah, all of it's in module 3. Like when you go to module 3, we talk about goal weight. We talk about all that kind of stuff. Let's see. So my best advice for Leandra basically is I want you to like think about if I was going to lose 14 pounds easily over the next 3 months, then this is what I would do. And this is how I would tackle it. I would make sure that I drink my water every day because I run the risk of not drinking water every day. I would make for sure that I had a 24-hour plan every single day and that at the end of it, I asked myself, am I an 8 or better on following it? Because if I'm not, I will make it an 8 or better to follow it. Because if you want to lose a pound every single week, you've got to be committed. This is what you guys go to. I've got to make it hard. I've got to cut out food groups. I need to like, you know, throw in my extra sidecar of diet mentality and stuff. It's like, no, you need to be committed. You need to like write shit down and you need to be following it so that over time you have data to learn from and to glean from. That is the skill you need. That is why the realistic plan is so important. It builds upon itself. You get really good at it and you create awareness. And if you're not losing weight with realistic plans, you give yourself one, the gift of knowing you're showing up for it every day. So now you don't have to battle the demon of writing shit down and getting used to doing that. Now all you have to do is figure out, okay, what can I change this week that I'm ready for? You all know my story. This is exactly how I did it. Don't tell me the shit doesn't work. And don't tell me you're a unicorn. You are not a unicorn. You are like every other person who needs to lose weight. You need to start where you are and you need to level up and you need to enjoy the process so that it never comes back. That is who you are. You are not broken. You are not weird. You are not some outlier. None of that is going to help you. When you think that, guess what you don't do? The second you think that, you do about 50% of what I tell you to do. You do some of it. You do what you're comfortable with. With this thought that it's not going to work, well, guess what? When you half-ass doing something, expect half-ass results. I don't give you complicated plans for a reason because we're going to work on your brain. You don't need a complicated system. So quit complicating it. All right, Catherine. If you're here, Catherine, will you let me know? And guys, I will take some questions at the end. I won't be able to go back through, so just save your questions. And then at the end, I will take some, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? Leslie, the recovery worksheets are in Module 5. They're also on the worksheets page. If you go to Toolkit, there's something called Worksheets. The recovery worksheet is on the Toolkit page. So just click Toolkit, Worksheets, you'll see it. My persistent thought that I feel like I'm invisible. I feel safe with this invisible persona. I continue to buffer with food to maintain my comfortable feeling of invisibility. Why is this a problem for you? This thought is keeping me from my potential in life. What solutions have you come up with to solve the problem? I have modeled a way out of this way of thinking, but I think it is too weak. My replacement thought is my invisibility is boring and making me miss out on my life's possibilities. This is supposed to help me look for ways to be less invisible, but it is not inspiring. If it's not inspiring, it's not working. So that's really, really key. What I would do, let's see, the problem that this is creating for me, it's uncomfortable. It sounds like a weak emotion, but it is relentless and is keeping me locked in fear and self-doubt about trying to become less invisible in my own mind. Less invisible means talking more with people at work instead of avoiding conversations. So she feels like she's invisible in life. And when you feel like you're invisible in life, guys, here's what you do. You don't talk and nobody notices you. The first place, though, to start is not by saying, all right, I'm going to like woman up and just jump into some conversations. When you feel invisible, it's because you're invisible to yourself. This, again, goes back to, guys, I found out what the problem with Zoom is, they're having server issues on their side. Yes, we get to like say that it's all their fault and it's not ours. Yay. All right. So her like thought is that she wants a replacement thought of my invisibility is boring and making me miss out. I think that that would make me feel bad if I thought that. I would say something like, this is one of those times where like if I feel like I'm invisible, what we need to know is that the reason why she feels invisible is because she thinks that it's protecting her. So I would do a thought that was, my invisibility doesn't protect me. Just so she can break the tie right there. We need to make sure that the tie between like it's protecting me is broken. It's the same thing with you guys with food. When you say food comforts me, my weight protects me. Before you can really start coming up with something believable or new or that's going to give you some traction, is you have to break the first level, which is like, let's disprove the lie. The lie is feeling, what does she say? I feel safe. And I would also want to know, why does it feel safe? If you feel safe, invisible, what are you afraid of? Most of the time people will say something along the lines of, I'm afraid people will judge me. I'm afraid someone will do something, whatever that may be. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that like we uncover those things. But the very first thing that I would do in this case is I would just start telling myself, it doesn't protect me. Being invisible doesn't protect me. And a lot of people who, like, if you're worried about self-judgment, guys, for all of you that use things to shield you, I would get your sheet of paper or use the TDL pages in the back of your planner. A lot of my TDL pages, just so you guys know in case you wonder, because I don't do models on all of them, is I have a few of them with titled like the different things that I track for myself. So like I have a page that is like my wins page. For those of you who feel invisible or wanting to get more comfortable about being noticed and stuff, before you can do that, you have to be very self-assured that you're okay with what people notice. And most of you do so much work on shaming yourself that why would you want other people to notice you? Because if you think you're bad or you think you're not worthy or you think these things, you are not going to put yourself out there because then people would see that. Do you see how that plays out? So what you want to do is you want to do work on yourself in terms of like here are the things that I like about me today. And I'm going to tell you, if you've spent a lifetime not liking yourself, that's a hard exercise, but it's really good to do. It starts you doing the work. It teaches you a couple of things. It teaches you that you're not as invisible as you think you are, because like once you get comfortable with that, you'll either be more comfortable talking to other people or you won't care anymore because you won't be hiding from it. You'll just be okay with you're the kind of person who doesn't need to have those conversations. So there's like a million ways that this can play out. But the biggest thing is I would keep a list of like, I would have a page in my planner that you wrote in every single day where you had to write something that you liked about yourself, and you have a collection. The best way to do this is every day that you write something you like about yourself, and the next day you can't repeat it. And you have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. And then I would also every day read the previous ones. Your brain has to start being trained on how to see what's right about you. It has to be trained on how to even find what's right about you. And it has to be trained to remember what's right about you. When you do that piece of like self-work, like on your worth and your self-love and stuff like that, what happens is that you end up being the kind of person who either doesn't feel invisible anymore because now you're visible to yourself, or you start being more comfortable about putting yourself out there because now this is the story you tell of you, and you would want other people to see it. You wouldn't be afraid of other people to see this version of you. But if the only version that you have of yourself walking around is some broken ass soul who people don't like and is a failure and all this other kind of stuff, why would you want people to notice you? Because you would automatically go to, they must think the same things. So you'll play small. All right. Aw, I wanted to talk to Sierra. I wanted to talk to all of you, but I haven't seen her on a call in a while. I was really excited. The thing I want coaching on, Sierra, if you're here, let me know if you're here. The thing I want coaching on is dropping looking to my past for an indication of what I will do and believing in myself. This is a problem because for me, I've had a lot of failed attempts at weight loss, and each time it gets harder for me to believe that I will be at my goal. The solutions that I've come up with are TDL and modeling, and this problem creates what feeling doubt. So this is a super, super easy one. Catherine. Yes, Catherine, you did. I see you. I just got through talking about your stuff, about self-worth. When I get done, go back through. I talked about, this is what I was saying to you, and then I'll go back to Sierra. The Zoom was having problems. Hey, Sierra, I'll get you next, okay? Sierra, do me this while I'm getting ready. Tell me, other than TDL and modeling, let me go back to yours real quick, and then I'll get back to Catherine. So the solution is TDL and modeling. That's not the solution. That's the action, right? So you've been uncovering and uncovering, but what are you doing actively to break the tie? How are you, like, now I want you to think about this. How are you showing up differently despite your doubt? All right, so give me that while I talk to Catherine. Catherine, what I talked about in the last part was when you feel invisible, do you like yourself, Catherine? Most people who feel invisible are hiding because they really don't like themselves a lot, or they have such horrible self-talk that the reason why they're invisible is because they wouldn't want other people to see them necessarily, because then they would see that we all have this version of ourselves we believe we are. And if you believe you're this person, if you love, like, it's like me. I love who I am. That's why I put myself out there so much. Because I just think, well, gosh, if I love myself this much, everybody's going to love me. Even though I get plenty of evidence. I mean, every week on a Facebook Live, just like that lady today, somebody doesn't like me. And on a free Facebook Live, they will tell me. And I had no problem telling her to leave. I didn't sit there going, oh my God, One out of 600 doesn't like me. What am I going to do? I should probably end this live right now. If I didn't like me, then I would think all of you didn't like me. And that you're all just lying to me. And blah, 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 blah. I mean, you all know how it goes. But no, like, I see something and I'm just like, well, that's bullshit. It's like, if you don't like cussing, go somewhere else. I like it. I think it makes me colorful and flavorful. Like, but that's where my personal alignment with myself is so intact that I don't worry what other people see or think. I mean, every now and then, like, I'm not like some kind of weirdo that just is like, oh, you know, I do catch myself sometimes having that, but it doesn't cause me to react in a way that I shrink from the rest of the world. Like, I notice when I'm worried about what someone thinks rather than believing they must think this. I hope that makes sense. I think of my invisibility as a superpower cloak. Yeah, I told you in the coaching, you'll have to go back and listen. I told you, like, the first step for you is to tell yourself it's not a powerful cloak or you wouldn't want to get rid of it. Now think about it. Like, we all do this, like, oh, food comforts me. But can you tell me how to end that? It's like, well, then it's not comforting you. If it was so fucking comfortable, you'd be like, you know what I want to do? I want to just keep on eating and I want to gain some more weight because I really love all the stuff it gives me. We don't want to get rid of the stuff we love, but we'll tell ourselves some juicy little story about it. Just like your invisibility cloak. It's like, there ain't no power cloak. Or you would want to wear it proudly every day. Be like, I love being invisible. You know, look, I'm just a big old introvert. Last thing I want is a bunch of bitches talking to me. So if I can just sit here and be invisible and nobody talks to me, man, I go home and sleep like a baby every night. And there are people like that. But something in you does not like it, or you wouldn't want to get rid of it. Or you're just not appreciating this part of you. Could be either one. But what I would just say, what I was saying, and the thing is, I want you to make a list. Every single day, you need to write something down about you that you love. So, like, you want to take the cloak off for sure. Then before you take the cloak off, the version of you that you have, like, you've got to really love it. Because then you'll want everyone to see it. And then all you have to do is get used to talking to people. And you won't worry about judgment. And you won't worry about anything else. That was my main thing for you, Catherine. When you go back and listen is, you know, what do you make it mean? That, like, if you just go up and be you right now. If, like, everybody's standing around talking. You're just like, all right, I'm jumping in. No more invisibility cloak. Here I am, world. It's time to talk. What do you worry about? Because what you worry about is the only thing stopping you from being the version of you that you dream of, that is comfortable with being seen by everyone. Julie, you and I both are narcissists. I am like, I crack up Chris now because I'm so, like, full of myself. Like, seriously, I just love me. And one day he was like, oh my God. He was like, is it always all about you? And I was like, yeah. And I said, let me just tell you, the first 30 years of my life, it wasn't about me. And that was a torture tank. And I said, now that I know what it can be like, I'm never going back there. If I can get even more self-assured, I'm all in. This is the best fucking feeling ever. Like, I'm down. Oh, all right, so back to Sierra. Here we are. Perfect timing, Sierra. Y'all, I'm sweating like a whore. How am I showing up differently despite the doubt? I've been sharing my thoughts and feelings around my emotional eating with people I trust and not just keeping everything inside. That's good. I allow myself to have the nasty thoughts and then coach myself as much as often as I can instead of sitting with the thoughts until I feel bad about myself. That's good, too. I've started losing weight without completely being motivated to do so. That's amazing. I plan with the goal of planning and not shame myself for not being on plan. I don't know what problem you have, Sierra. Seriously, I think you just want your thoughts to go away. Here, you said, the thing I want coaching in is dropping, looking to my past for an indication of what I'll do and believe in myself. Here's what I would tell you, Sierra, because we've been coaching for a long time, right? You're probably always going to go to your past for a while. That's going to be like, it's almost like your security blanket. Like whenever things get tough, whenever you feel uncomfortable, whenever anything's happened, that's going to be like a tripwire for your brain to be like, oh, but you know, we've always failed in the past. Oh, this went wrong. You just need to be aware that your brain wants to seek evidence for how things aren't working. And then you're going to be in that space for a while of saying, I'm very aware that that's where my brain's going to go, but I'm also going to keep taking action and I'm going to double down on showing myself where it is working. So all that stuff you just told me, that like y'all know how like when I set a goal, I write the goal down like every single day so that I can stay really focused on my goals. I think the same thing goes with you guys. Like for those of you that have a knee-jerk reaction to go to how things aren't working, to how your past proves the evidence of where you're at now, all this other stuff, you would need to have a daily practice of how it's working, what's changing, why you like it, what might be troublesome tomorrow and how you're going to overcome it. I want you guys to think about when you're losing your weight, especially with your thought downloads and stuff, start thinking about how you can start writing to yourself in a way that's taking you towards where you want to go. Like I always love the idea of like, here's what's working. Here's what I'm doing right. Here are the things I'm noticing that I need to work on. Tomorrow, the obstacles might be, here's what I'm willing to do. Here's how I want to feel. All of those kinds of things, in case you don't have to do every single thing I say, pick and choose a few. If you just did some of that stuff, what it does is it takes your brain and it gets it from looking to the past to looking to where you're going. The more we can think about where we're going, like the obstacles are ahead of you. They're not behind you. The success is ahead of you. It's not behind you. The only thing the past is telling you is what has happened in the past. That's it. You could leave it all right there. It can tell you you're likely to think these things because you thought that in the past, but the past literally doesn't tell you what's going to happen this time. What your past failed diets and all of that stuff, the only thing it does is it gives you an indication of what you're likely to think about. It has nothing to do with the results, though. The results come from the actions you repeat. Period. The ones you're willing to repeat. So if you start allowing your past to just be like, these are the thoughts I'm likely to think. So now I'm going to think these and I'm going to like look to doing this. No longer does it have evidence. The only time it's ever going to have evidence is when you look back at it and agree with it. Yeah, we're a loser. That's the exact same thing that'll happen this time. You don't know. If you're going to try to predict your future, why predict it for doom and gloom? That is the thing. You guys are so sold on the idea that you know how something's going to happen based upon the past. We don't even know how what is it? I don't know. 70, 90 years, 100 years or something of the stock market, right? And they have predictions, but they can't tell you for sure. It's always a gamble. And that's all math. And it's like, you just got to get in there. It'll be a little scary. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But what's happened in the past is not the indicator of for sure what's going to happen. You don't know what is going to happen, so you might as well predict the best outcome for yourself. There's no downside to predicting success. None. You get to feel good now. You get to look forward to it. And if you don't hit success, guess what you get to do? Figure out what didn't work so you can start predicting more success. But the people that are working towards success learn a lot of shit. The people who were predicting doom and gloom quit. It will eventually wear you out. So what I think for you, Sierra, is I think you're moving into the good space. You're just wanting doubt to go away. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, doubt never goes away. Ever. You can believe in yourself. But I'm just going to tell you, if you're really, truly going after the things you want in this life, doubt will creep up a little bit every single time, and it's supposed to. It, like, I like to think for me that doubt is like a speed bump to make me slow down and make sure that what I'm setting myself up to do is good. Like, when I doubt, it means like, okay, make sure your plan is in place. Make sure you know where you're going. Did you get your keys? Like, think about going on a vacation. You know how sometimes, like, when you're going on, like, I'm traveling today. Right before I walk out the door, I always have doubt. And I do a mental checklist. Okay, do I have my keys? Like, I go through the checklist of the things that I know that I will have to have for my trip. And everything else, I could buy it if I had to when I got there. But, like, I damn sure gotta have my keys. I need money. I need my driver's license. There's just certain things that I can't get when I'm, like, I need my laptop. Probably need some, like my jeans and shit, because I'm not going to want to have to wear the same clothes the next day. Like, I always make sure that I have, like, certain things. Once I have that, then I feel good. Doubt, when you're trying to lose weight, guys, it can be just like going on a vacation. You know where you're going and stuff. Do I have the key essentials? Everything else I'll figure out when I get there if I don't have them. If I make some mistakes, I'll figure that out too. That helps doubt go away. All right, that was everybody that was supposed to get coached today. If you have a question, let's ask it now. I'll spend about 10 minutes answering some questions, and then we will get out of here because I have to go pick up my son. Today, I'm on mommy duty, so I have to go get him. Julianne said, my dad has been telling me since I was a little girl, it's not all about you. And I respond, of course it is. That's where I'm at. I'm just like, are you kidding? It's always about me. I tell every time Kathy will, I don't know, she'll share something and I'll somehow bring it back to me. She's like, how is it always about you? And I said, how is it not? Like, are you kidding? Any idea why someone can commit to strict diets but not four basics? I've lost some strict diets but gained it all back. Well, there's your answer. But I've been struggling along for a year now mastering the basics. Because the basics make you start working on the things that you don't work on when you're on a strict diet. And then the second you come off the strict diet, guess what? All those things you didn't work on come flying back in like the flying monkeys in the Wizard of Oz. They're not pretty. They're going to snatch you up and take all your weight loss results with them. So you need to figure out, like, these four basics. Why am I having such a hard time? Probably you, if I had to guess, I always feel like the Wizard of Oz when I'm saying this because, you know, he's always, like, sitting there, like, you know, if I... You have an idea that a strict diet is what works. So when you don't feel restriction, you don't think it can work. And that's what you have to, like, realize. You've got to break the tie that a strict diet works. You even said it. I can commit to strict. If you want to be strict with your basics. Say, I don't waver off these four things. By God, there'll be a 24-hour plan every day. And I'll tell you what, I'll have followed that son of a bitch like nobody's business. If that is what needs to happen for you, you can do that with the four basics. Nobody said you have to go in there like loosey-goosey. I've lost a lot on strict diets. I would tell myself I've never lost weight on a strict diet. You have temporarily set some weight aside and then brought it back in for the party. That's what I would tell myself so that you can start breaking the restriction that somehow the magic lies in restriction. The magic doesn't rely on you showing up every day. The hard part, guys, the hard part of dying is showing up every day and not needing something outside of you to make you do it. When you got to take self-responsibility and just get up and make your own decisions and not blame anybody or whatever. Yeah, that's the hard part. I tried Bulletproof Coffee for the first time this morning with brain octane, cocoa butter, coffee, some stevia. I took about 3 sips and my stomach started getting very crampy and I started burping. I could only get through half my cup. Any tips or ideas on what is happening? Do you normally drink coffee, Nicole? That would be my first thing. If you don't normally drink coffee, sometimes just coffee itself is acidic and can be hard on your stomach. I would need to know what you normally do in the morning. I've been off doing 24-hour plans since Thanksgiving. I'm in maintenance. Can't seem to get back on track. Any suggestions? Yeah, start doing your 24-hour plans again. I know it sounds simple, but if you're in maintenance and you're not doing your 24-hour plan, the idea is to start doing it. Like, get off this call right now. Like, shut your phone down. Go grab your planner and write down your food for the rest of the day. That's what it takes. Don't wait for motivation. Don't wait for, like, y'all, when you sit there and tell me, like, how do I get back to making my plans? This is what you're saying. Corinne, tell me something that makes it easy for me to start making my plans. I'll tell you what makes it easy. Quit bullshitting around and get out a pen and a piece of paper. That makes it easy. Sitting around thinking about it and ruminating about it and wondering when you're going to start and hoping for divine intervention and an angel to come down from the heavens doesn't do it. You know what that does? It makes it excruciating for yourself. Because when you're doing all of that, you're wondering when you're going to get your shit together. Like, you're going through all this other stuff. The best way, guys, I'm going to tell you, the best way to get out of being overwhelmed and confused and lost and frustrated is to do something about it. Write your first damn plan down for today and then set on a ringer on your phone, an alarm tomorrow with a text that says, at this time, I will write down my 24-hour plan. And then review the day before. It's literally, that's all it takes. There's no thought magic that's going to make that first one feel super appealing. It doesn't need to be warm, fuzzy, and appealing. It needs to be done. I think it just dawned on me, this is Sierra, that I wanted the thoughts to stop. Like I've heard you say a million times, but I just realized that I wanted it to just go away and not come back. When you said it never goes away, it clicked. I'm just going to have to keep going with the self-doubts. Yeah, and this is what I like to tell myself. It's just doubt. Guys, y'all give these feelings so much power. They're just physical vibrations in your body that have been manifested by a thought that ran through your damn brain. That's it. We do a lot of this work at our retreats, but all of you right now, whatever it is you're feeling, I want you to just like, when we finish the live, I want you to sit there, give yourself 1 minute, set your phone timer for 1 minute. And I want you to think about the one feeling you're feeling when you get off this live. And then I want you to pay attention to what's going on in your body. Like if you're feeling doubt and frustrated and stuff, I just want you to at least experience it. And then when you're done, I want you to write down all the physical sensations that you had. Like my mouth watered, I felt antsy, whatever it may be. Physical sensations. And then when you're done with that part, I want you to write at the bottom, and that's the worst it will ever get. That is all a feeling does. Whatever you feel in your body, that right there, my friends, is what you guys spend a lot of time and energy trying to escape and trying to change and try to no longer have. And I'm like, a lot of the feelings you guys want to run from, I'm just like, I just feel it. And I'd still do shit until my thoughts caught up to me. That's why I don't feel tons of doubt all the time. I'm just like when Zoom was going down like an hour ago. I did not have panic, despair, and everything. There was a moment where I was just like, can somebody tell me what's going on? I was like, I'm just going to have to go live. Because you know what I didn't want to do? I didn't want to sit around and feel like a failure. I didn't want to sit around and feel like I was disappointing everyone. I didn't want to sit around wondering what to do and feel helpless and all this other stuff. You know what I wanted to do? Figure out a solution and get going. Because I feel so much better than ruminating. That shit sucks. Don't do it. Somebody said they were thirsty. I'm like really thirsty. How do you set a stretch goal without becoming obsessed with the numbers? You set the goal and then you don't allow yourself to think about the numbers all the time. You think about the things you're doing to get there. Like when I set a goal, I spend a lot of time in my action line. all the things that I'm doing. Like, I'm reviewing the things I'm doing. I'm either doing them or not. I'm asking, why am I doing them? I stay focused on the things I'm doing. The number will work itself out. You get like 5 minutes to think about the number. After that, you should spend all your time thinking about the shit you're doing to get that number. Ever since I declared I would complete the marathon challenge in 18 months, I've been shitting on myself. I must run 45 miles per week, no matter what. I'm going to get injured if I keep this up. I just don't know how to rein myself in. Everything short of 18 months feels like a failure. I would just start running and then see where your numbers are coming out. Every month, do an evaluation to see how close you are. And if you're not doing the runs that you think need to get you there, then you get to decide. Like, I either need to adjust the goal and get over it, or I need to run more. But you don't have to make it a big dramatic deal. I'd also ask myself, like, what's the worst thing that will happen if I do the marathon in 20 months, 22 months? Who dies or gets pregnant if I do it in 22 months? A lot of times, guys, y'all make a big deal out of stuff. It's just like, let's say that when I was losing 100 pounds, I'd set the goal to lose it in 12 months. It took me 18. And at 12 months, I hadn't lost 100 pounds. If I'd have sat there and gotten batshit crazy over it, I probably would have rebounded my weight. Rather than going, huh, I've lost all this weight. I think I'll just keep going. Let's see if we can do it in 18. Nobody died or got pregnant either on that one. Sometimes it's just calling bullshit on yourself when you're making something way bigger than it is. Just say, I'm going to keep my goal as it is. And I'm going to set myself up. I know my schedule, and I'm either showing up for it or I'm not. And I'm going to learn by how I show up. Rather than sitting around spinning out about it, I'm going to learn how I show up for my goals. What do I do and don't do when it comes to them? How can I level up each time? Yeah, for all of you, the Zoom is having server issues. I'm not sure what their problem is, but they had something. Chris said all 500 errors are server errors, meaning your request made it to the server over the internet, but then the server, for whatever reason, can't handle you at the moment. That's funny. Why do sweets taste so good in the moment? They're engineered to taste good. We wouldn't eat them if they tasted like shit. We can't be frustrated because sweets taste good. They were always designed to taste good. My first off plan was a white Twix, and I didn't even know they made white Twix. You know, I love Twix. I love any of the caramel. And I've gone off plan just a little every day since I ate it on Monday. Need to get out of my shitty diaper. Yeah. You need to tell yourself, like, it's not like a bad thing that sweets taste good. That is so not the problem. All you need to do is, like, if you want to have candy every day, then and you're eating candy every day, you need to get candy on your plan until you're ready to get candy off your plan. Or you need to commit to not having candy and then commit to the, like, sitting around, and you're going to want the candy. That's not a problem. That's the way it's designed. That'd be like saying, I don't know why oxygen is so good. I could get so much more done every day if I didn't have to waste time breathing. Why does oxygen have to be required anyway? We would never sit around and bitch about oxygen. It's the same kind of stuff. It's like, guys, like, I want you to just tell yourself, candy, it's a Twix. It's candy. Everything else, I think, is my problem. It's not the candy is the problem. It's my thoughts about the candy. So either, like, decide, like, you know what I want to do? I want to plan the candy for a few days so I get into the habit of being very aware when I'm eating it rather than being very aware that I'm breaking my plans left and right. Then I can give myself a foothold in making sure that I take some of that off my plan when I'm ready. I am struggling with when things don't go as expected. I am killing Monday through Friday typical days, but when anything different happens, I go off the rails. I suppose I've not formed habits yet. Yeah, you just haven't formed habits yet, Tara. Your brain's not used to making decisions in the moment. That's why we do so much planning, is so that you can have a lot of decisions already made. And then when you have moment, like moment to moment decisions, you have the bandwidth to do it. It's just going to take a little time. Everybody goes through that. Everybody goes through, they do really, like a lot of people go through the thing of like, I do really well with a plan unless something doesn't go on plan. That's called everyone. That's not your problem. You get used to it though. The more you keep planning, the more spontaneous moments stick out and gives you the opportunity to think through them in the moment without the exhaustion of every moment of your life being moment to moment. I suck at night. Why do I fall at night? Well, first of all, you don't suck at night. Let's, like, Chris, you'll never fix your problem if all you do is go immediately to shame and how terrible you are. Just say, at night, I eat eggs. Like, that is the thing. Right now, the reason why you fall at night is probably because you think you suck at it. So the second you think you want food, guys, this is everything, all of you, please listen. If you are a 4 p.m. eater or an 8 p.m. eater, if you think you suck at it, the first moment something looks good, you don't even have to put the food in your mouth. The moment you're tempted, the moment you notice food, your brain will start going, see, we suck at this. We can't even quit thinking about food. We notice everything. A little bit won't hurt. Let's just have some. It won't matter. It will kickstart every thought that you have in reserve to prove you suck and that it's hard for you and that it's terrible for you. And you'll have this mound of evidence coming in. The first thing you have to do, Chris, is just tell yourself, at 8 p.m., I tend to eat these things. Neutralize what's going on. This is not a Chris problem. I suck. This is a process problem. There is something that happens each night, and there's probably a series of them. It will take me a little bit of time of tracking and watching and observing and figuring it out, and then I will have solved the problem. That sounds a fuck ton better than I suck at night. Why do I fall? The only reason why you fall is because you're making it mean there's something wrong with you rather than there's something wrong with my process. And when you move into that side, guess what? You start solving the process. Right now, you're just kicking yourself in the shins. That's not going to help. All right, that's it. I am headed to Dallas. I got to go get Logan, and then I'm off to Dallas. I will be, let's see, let me look at my calendars. Let's see what's going on this week. Tomorrow morning, Kathy has tribe Q&A with you guys. General Q&A. Miss Betsy will be doing Facebook Live, visualizing your obstacles with Coach Betsy on Friday at noon. There will be Zoom coaches office hours. No appointment needed, guys. That will take place on Saturday at noon. On Sunday, I fly home and will be live on Zoom with you guys at noon. So I will see you then. If not, with a surprise live or maybe a watch party or something. For all of you who are wondering what the watch party is, I'll tell you real quick. Facebook has a new feature called watch party. It means we can take a video that we've done and we can schedule to watch the rerun of it. It's like watching a replay, right? Together. So we're all watching me or one of the coaches is online answering your questions in the comments. So it's like sometimes people do like a double down. Say like, I was alive. Now I'm going to be here for this version. But right now we're not scheduling them only because it's brand new. We've only done two. We like it, but I've got to play with all the different things that happen with it. Like, I'm not sure how they store it yet. Like, I'm not sure if we can schedule ahead of time. Like, there's all kinds of things that I need to figure out before I start putting him on our regular schedule. So you can probably look forward to watch parties being scheduled ahead of time, so you'll know when they are next month. We'll put it on next month's schedule. And on Thursday night, I will see a lot of the DFW Dallas girls. I think we have 37 of you coming to our meetup. Anytime I travel, guys, I always try to schedule a meetup. I happen to be in Dallas this time, so that I can see some of you girls from all over the country who might not be able to make it to Nashville. So I will be seeing them, and they're always free. We just kind of all get together. We have told the Four Seasons, figure out a place for us. There's a lot. So, all right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.